appreciate all of the work that went into today, and we're just elated that what the Lord did. We're thankful for the crowd, and probably the best sound that we've heard was this morning, if you're in this auditorium, this morning when the choir was singing, and that first song that Brother Dan had the whole the audience and the choir singing was a magical, wonderful sound, just of all singing together. It was a wonderful time. Thank you for all that you did, choir. Thank you for that. Thank you for all the work that went on behind the scenes. Just a wonderful day, and we're grateful for that. I do want you to be praying for Brother Marty and his family. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock is the graveside service down at the VA at the Mountain Home Veterans Cemetery, 2 p.m. there at the pavilion. So if you'd like to come by, and that'll be at 2 p.m. tomorrow, and we'll certainly want to support this family and thank the Lord for Brother Marty. Thank for his mom and the home going there, and trust that you'll be praying for that family. Well, we did have a big weekend. Brother Daniel headed up, or Kyle or somebody headed up the Iron Bowl yesterday, and so nobody was hurt except for Buddy. I don't know if we really count Buddy. He got hurt on the way out of the car over to the game, and no, he didn't really. He did pray for a while, but pulled his hamstring. But I don't have any room to talk. I was standing over there, and I've been prematurely aged. I've been nursing my back all week. I don't know what I did to it, and I've been having ice on it and just limping around. And so here I am with a bad back, and but I'm doing good now. And so I just went over to watch. So I was the male cheerleader, I guess, and telling him. Yeah, go on. Really, I was there just, I told him in case it all went south, Jordan was there if we needed any medical stuff, and he was going to pray all he could over him, but I thought if nothing else, he and I would gang up on him, and somebody said the last rites, but I said, that's the wrong religion, we're not going that direction, so... But they had a good time. But I have been doing that, but you'll be glad to know, age of my back, but also my eyes... Somebody gave me a magnifying glass, so if you see me up here looking for something, it brings it right up there. I tell you, things coming out that I never saw before. So, but it's good to be saved, folks. You and I have so much to be thankful for. And I mean, I don't always mean to bring it back to church, but it is so evident because that's what we gather for on the weeks, the weekend, the beginning of the week, the first day of the week. God made it this way so that the family of God would have an encouraging time where you come together. And I don't mean encouraging as in we just all say, you can make it, you can do it, although that comes with it. But praying one for another, encouraging one another, bearing one another's burdens, being there, asking about people. That's why I tell everybody the most important thing you can do for somebody is pray for them. Second most important thing you can do is let them know that you're praying for them. And it's in that order, praying because God, prayer moves the hand of God, and then God will move and work in their lives. But then you encourage those people by letting them know that you're praying for them. And I'm so thankful that we have a church that does that, that prays one for another. I hear it out in the lobby, and folks will say, asking how somebody's doing, and they'll say, I'm praying for you. That's the most joyful sound I believe you can hear when somebody says, I'm praying for you. And it's just a wonderful thing to come together. I want to preach for a little while about this idea of joy. And so if you find your Bible and look in John chapter 15, we'll look at the joy that God says, Jesus says to the folks there, that their joy might be full. And I trust that we would have that full joy, that joy that's overcoming, overrunning. And so John chapter 15, we'll look at verses, let's see here. We'll start down about verse number 4, and we'll read through there for a while. We'll do a little bit of a Bible study, and then we'll just expound some things on verse 11. I trust to be a blessing to you, because here's what's happening. We walk, our world walks, not necessarily us, but sometimes it's us too. We walk in despair. We walk in gloom and desperation and misery and anguish. We always walk around like we've got a big rain cloud over our head, and we walk and we're irritable, we're grumpy. And like the one fella said, the doctor asked that one fella said, do you wake up grumpy? I mean, they're trying to figure out why he was so sideways, why he was so angry. He said, do you wake up this way? Do you wake up grumpy? He said, no, not if I can keep from it. I let her sleep as long as I can. We are grumpy. We're irritable. We're not having the joy of Christ oftentimes in our lives, but we're the ones that are supposed to. If we're not happy, who is happy? I know the difference between joy and happiness, and we've taught on that before, but just to clear that out, there's nothing wrong with being happy either. We're the ones that are supposed to be joyful. We have the joy of God in our hearts. We've got the salvation of our soul. We've got a home in heaven. We've got all these things promised for us. The worst thing that can happen for you as a Christian, you die. And you would then find that's the best thing that happened to you, because that would have entered you into the presence of the Lord. And so I'm saying that we as Christian folks, and maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, and I trust that you'd understand my desire is that you'd be saved. But by and large, the folks that are listening to me tonight, you're a born-again Christian, but we are under the problems and the circumstances, and we're under the gloom and despair of what the world has for us. My friend, we do not need to be that way. Well, I'm going to get to verse number 11, but since we're going to get there, let's read it first. Verse 11, John 15. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Whose joy? My joy. Christ, he's speaking. My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And that's where I'll end up tonight, but let's look at verse number 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. If you break that down, Jesus says, you live in me, you abide in me, I live in you, I reside in you. That's what it talks about when you ask Jesus into your life. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, meaning that you can't do anything out there on your own, it's got to be connected to the source. Verse 5 clarifies, I'm the vine, you're the branches, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's the life that Jesus wants us to live. For without me, he reminds us, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse number 6, let me take you back for a minute. Sometimes we all worry about, well, I don't think that person living much like a Christian. I don't think they said they got saved over there, but I don't know this. And I haven't heard a lot of it, but we need not quibble and quabble and worry about who is and isn't in there. Our lives ought to give testimony of what happened in us. And if I have to go with my magnifying glass and look and see one little hope or one little sliver of a hope that I'm saved, then I'm living wrong. But I say to you also that we need not worry, wonder, and quabble over whether somebody is, somebody isn't, because verse number 6 says it. If a man's not in me, God will take care of that. He's cast forth as a branch. Perhaps he thinks he is or acts like he is, says he is, but knows he's not, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. God has all of those things. God's not fooled. No TV preacher has fooled God yet. Nobody that claims that there's something special has hoodwinked God. And so we shouldn't spend so much time, since we're not the ones letting anybody in or denying them access to heaven, we probably don't need to spend so much time worrying about whether somebody really, really is a Christian or really got saved or not. We'll just leave that up to the Lord and keep faithfully preaching the Word of God. Verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, shall ask what you will. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then we come back to the verse we started with. These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy might be full. Jesus is saying, here's why I said these things, so you can have a full joy tank. So you can remain, my joy will remain in you, and that your joy will completely be full. You know what it's like to have that friend that's the life of the party? As soon as he or she gets there, then the spirits just lighten. They lift. They're just the person that's always got a joke. They've always got something funny. They've always got a pleasant attitude. I've told you before, my mama used to say, everybody brings joy into a room. It's just that some of them bring it when they come, and the others bring it when they leave. But that person that always brings joy into the room when they come, they've always got a lighthearted spirit. Maybe they're just a happy Christian. That's the person that's a joy to be around. Well, I'm not saying, certainly would not bring the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, down to just being one of your friends, although he is a friend. I'm not saying that he's just, wow, he's the life of the party. I would never be so irreverent. But what I am saying, that like that friend that brings a lighthearted feeling or mood or mode to your party, Jesus, when he comes in and abides in you and he lives in me, he brings that joy. And if I'm not living in that joy, my friend, I want you to have a checkup tonight. I want you to have a Holy Spirit checkup to see, why is it that I'm not having that? Let me give you, we'll do a little Bible study. And there's several parts that lead up to verse 11. I want you to see number one. You don't have to write these down, but you can. Verse number 4 and 5, you're supposed to stay close to him. Abide in me and I in you, verse number 4. Verse number 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches, so you're supposed to stay close to him. Not only are you supposed to stay close to him, but you look at verse number 7, you're supposed to stay in his word. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, verse number 7, stay in his word. And then also in verse number 7, stay in prayer. Ye shall ask what ye will. How's our prayer life? How's our Bible reading? How's us staying in the word of God? It's one thing for a person to say, Pastor, I just don't seem to have any joy. I'm not so blunt as to say it like this, but I could be, and there'd be nothing wrong with it, but I could say, how's your Bible reading? How's that prayer time? It's not fair for us to say, Lord, I just don't seem to have the joy in my heart. What's the word of God say in verse number 7? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's how God wants us to live. You were not made as a Christian. You were not born again to live without a constant infusion of the word of God. You weren't made, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You weren't born again, born in the family of God, to be somebody who goes on a starvation diet when it comes to the word of God. If you abide in me, you're supposed to stay in his word, verse 7, stay in in prayer, verse number 7. But then also, verse number 8, you're supposed to bear fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit as a Christian. And then in verse number 9, you're supposed to continue in his love. As the Father hath loved me, so I've loved you. Continue ye in my love. The Bible says so much about this thing of love. He says that that's how people would know that you're one of his disciples, that you have love one for another. And I wonder, sometimes as people come in and they watch you deal with somebody, they watch you behave out here on the parking lot or in Sunday school or somewhere else or just out and about through the week, would somebody overlook that conversation and say, must be something different about them. I noticed a different atmosphere. I noticed a different tone to that conversation. Oh, I know what it was. It was love. Herein shall they know you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. And then we're supposed to continue his love. And then verse number 10, we're supposed to keep his commandments. But it's as if Christ is telling us all these things, and then he adds an addendum into verse number 11 and says, by the way, as you live the way I just described, you, my friend, are going to have a lot of joy. These things have I spoken unto you, these things just then, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If somebody came up to me and said, you want your kids to be happy, I'd say yes. Of course, you would do the same. And our Father, our Heavenly Father, wants us as Christian children of His to live in joy. So I'd like to give you some practical points on how to live in that joy. Not necessarily from this passage, but just a few practical things that you and I can employ in our lives to see that joy, as it says in verse number 11, full. Number one, let me give you this as my time is hastening on. Find God's will and serve Him. Find God's will and serve Him. What in the world am I here for? I believe I'm supposed to be the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right here. I believe I'm in the will of God. If I didn't, I would resign and go find it. I believe I'm in the will of God. But that doesn't mean that every area of my life is covered. I'm also a father, and I'm also a husband, and I'm a neighbor, and I'm all these things. There's a lot of areas I'm supposed to be in the will of God in. And so I ought to be living my life in such a way that I can go lay my head on my pillow at night and say, Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do. As far as I know, certainly I'm not perfect, and none of us are, but we ought to have this overriding position that, no, I didn't do everything right today. I maybe was too short with somebody. I didn't do this. I could have done this. All those things. But there's nothing that's known in my life that I'm at odds with God about. God's not led me to do something and I've resisted, or he's not led me not to do something, I went ahead and done it. We ought to find God's will and serve him. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You can find what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm saying this evening that we ought to find God's will and serve him. There's a reason why some Christians don't have joy. Because God's already given them some orders and they're not following them. How do you do your children? If you've told them to do something and they have not yet completed it, isn't there some discipline coming? Sure. Isn't there some estrangement there? Yes. And the Bible teaches that if we don't receive chastisement, we don't receive chastening when we sin, then we're none of his. And so the scripture teaches us that we ought to find God's will and serve him. There's a feeling of peace when you know that you're doing what God made you to do. Those of you who are mothers, God bless you that you've brought children into this world. And some folks in my family, they've not been blessed in that way. That was just not God's path for them. They didn't have that joy. But those of you who have, isn't it a great fulfillment and a great joy because God brought you into this world to do something, and you, by his grace, brought some others into this world, and it's a wonderful, wonderful position for you to be in, and there's a feeling of peace when you know that you're doing what you were made to do. There's also a joy when you get to show somebody spiritually how they can be born again. There's such a joy. Some of you are doing this right now because you give me testimony about it. You're talking to a neighbor, to a friend, to a coworker, to somebody else. And somebody told me just the other day, he said, I've been talking to him, and I think that the opportunity now is going to open up wider because I've told them this, and they've been working on these folks for a long time to try to get to, ultimately, to lead them to Jesus. One of the greatest joys is to see God use you in such a way that you're able to show somebody their position of sin and that they need to be saved and see them get born again. I'm telling you this evening that the way to find peace and the way to have that joy that God wants us to have is find God's word, or find God's will rather, and do it. Number two, not only that, but let's do this as a real practical sense. Let's plan on enjoying God's will. It sounds simple, I know, but there are people who want to be miserable. Do you know them? You say, no, I'm preacher, he's sitting right here. Don't point. Didn't your mom teach you that's not polite? There are some people who just seems like they want to be miserable. You tell them in a beautiful day, yeah, but it's going to rain later. So you're a real blessing. Tell them it's a nice car. Yeah, but the other side's got a dent. Somebody hit me at Food City, opened the car door up into me. Well, it's a nice house. Yeah, but the basement leaks. I say, there's nothing. I can't do anything with you. What about this fella? He said that he was telling somebody, he said, well, I'm going to build a house. He said, good luck. He said, you ain't got no experience. He said, I don't mean I'm going to build it. He said, I'm going to get a builder. Well, good luck on that, finding somebody you can trust. It's like, isn't there anything that you get excited about? There's some people, just seems like they're bent on seeing the negative. But I'm saying this evening, and I don't have a scriptural passage for this. I mean, I don't think it's anti-scripture, but you ought to plan on enjoying the will of God for your life. Amen. I believe that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is available. I think about our bus captains, and I love the bus ministry so much. I would to God, and Daniel and I have been talking, I would to God, we doubled our amount of routes we have, and I'm praying just so you think, man, I wonder if preacher's praying for me. Yes, the pastor's praying for you. Pastor's praying some of us would rise up and take one of these buses that sit out here every Sunday. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. But everybody's not supposed to be on there. I understand. But the bus ministry is such a wonderful joy to see people come to church that literally would not be here if you didn't go get them. Amen. Oh, it's a joy. Oh, my goodness, it's a joy. And then to see them bring their dad and their dad get saved and to see them come to junior church and to see them grow, it's such a wonderful joy. I'm saying this evening that you ought to find yourself not only serving the will of God, finding His will and doing it, but then plan on enjoying what God wants you to do. We're in this life. We might as well enjoy what God wants us to do. Plan on enjoying. You know, you're going to live until you die, right? I think I need to exercise. I'm trying to work on some dieting and all that. But, you know, it's a proven fact that people that eat right and exercise die healthier. So I'm not making little of it. We should do more. The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. We ought to live, though, in such a way that we enjoy our lives. And you ought to live your life spiritually in such a way that you don't have regret, remorse. That's why I've been mentioning the last couple of services. I don't want you to get to January 1st and then say, well, where'd Christmas go? We just got so hung up on, or we got so caught up in all the stuff and buying presents, and I'm glad you did, and I'm glad folks have been so kind to Amy and I. I'm thankful for all of that, and so I'm not saying you don't do those things, especially if you're getting something for the pastor. No, you don't need to do that, but I appreciate it greatly, but I'm not saying you don't get your family stuff. You do what works best for your family, but what I am saying to each of us, let's not get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget who we're enjoying. We don't want to forget who we're worshiping, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also don't want to forget who we're enjoying it with, and that's our family that God has blessed us with. I'm telling us to plan on enjoying it. Number one, find God's will and serve Him. Number two, plan on enjoying it, and then refuse to let circumstances bring you down. These are more philosophy things, these second few points, but don't let circumstances bring you down. Do you know that everything that happens to you in your life had to get okayed by God? Curtis Hudson used to say, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He's known everything before everything ever was. Nothing ever came up to where He finally knew it, because He's always known everything that there ever was to know or be known about. Everything that happens in your life, every cancer report, every tragedy, every life that's snuffed out too early, every difficulty. I'm not saying that God orchestrated all, because the Bible says God doesn't tempt, He's not tempted, nor is He tempted. He doesn't tempt, nor is He tempted you. So I'm not saying that everything wicked He doesn't is not the author of. But He could have stopped any of it that He wanted to. Some drunk driver comes across the lane and takes somebody's life that we love. God didn't put the bottle to that lip. You can double dog guarantee that. But God could have made it work out differently had He wanted to. He took that sin of somebody's life and allowed it to intersect with your loved one. And so by virtue of the fact He had to okay everything that went on, He is going to see you through whatever's happening. That bad phone call that you got about a job, God knew it before your boss knew it, before you knew it. I'll give you this illustration. A lady, a girl, was all upset about some things that were happening in her life, and so she went to her dad. And her dad wanted to give an illustration for her. He boiled 3 containers of water. And he put in those potatoes, eggs, and some coffee grounds. And like teenage girls do. Sometimes they roll their eyes thinking, why didn't Dad just tell me what I want to know? But he said, no, bear with me. He was a chef. He said, bear with me. And he filled those three pots and he placed potatoes, eggs, and coffee and boiled them for 20 minutes. So he dipped the potatoes. He dipped the egg out and ladled the coffee into a cup. And she said, I don't understand, Dad. I just want to know, why are all these bad things happening? And he said, look at each of these items. He said, what happened to the potato that was hard? She took a fork and smashed it like you mash your potatoes. And she said, it's soft. And he said, what about the egg? The egg has a small little shell that keeps that liquid center in there. And she took something and cracked it, and it was hard, of course. And then she took a sip of the coffee, which she liked, and smiled and said, well, you made coffee at least. And he said, honey, that's the way we can be. When problems come our way, they can make us hard and difficult. They can make us mush to where we're no good for much. Or they can allow us to change our surroundings and make something that you and I both enjoy called coffee. Now, the illustration breaks down like any illustration does, because it doesn't go completely to your life. But I did want to ask this as I read it some time back, and I thought I'd put it in this message. You don't get to choose whether you get in hot water or not. The only thing you can choose is what you do when you get there. So the events of life can make you hard and make that soft core that you used to have hard and not so pleasant. It can make you soft to where you just say, I don't care. You just go to mush. You keep cooking a potato long enough and it hardly keeps its shape at all. Just kind of you put it out there and doesn't even have to do much mashing or beating to it. It just kind of smashes out. Or you can take and put it in there in that hot water. You can put those coffee grounds in there and just make something that most people in this room enjoy. You can't keep bad things from happening from my life, and I can't keep them happening from your life, and we can't keep them from each of our own lives either. But we can, with God's help and the promise in verse number 11 of our text, we can have joy through our difficulties. I usually don't call people out personally because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but Marty will. He's seen his dear mother go on to be with the Lord. There's others in this room right now. There's several ladies on our prayer list that we're praying that they're going through radiation and or chemotherapy. You can't prevent that. I can't prevent it from you. I may be the next one that has a prognosis of that. You know, my sweet mom went to heaven earlier this year. We can't keep things from happening. But all those things that did happen or are going to happen were already known by God. And Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And pray tell me, did Jesus know what was going to happen to our lives when he said that his joy could remain in us? The answer, yes. He did not say that my joy will remain in you unless we hit a real tough spot. He said, my joy might remain in you. Some of the sweetest Christian people are in this room right now. And they are sitting there. And if they could have what they wanted, they would have the dearest person on this earth still beside of them. But they do not. Some of our widows and widowers. But some of the sweetest testimonies in this church are also those same ones who are walking this path alone. How does that happen? I think it happens in verse 11 when Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Folks, I say to you, like the song says, joy to the world. Joy of the Lord to the world. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us, dear Lord, to remember that you're with us, dear Lord. You help us. You, Lord, let us count on having that joy. Let us depend on that. Lord, let us assume. Dear Lord, let us not block it. Would you please help us, our joy, to be full, like your word says. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I preached to Christians, you know I did. Folks, there's some joy robbers. And they are taking something that rightfully belongs to you. Because Jesus said you could keep it. But you've allowed the thief to come in. The thief cometh not but for to steal your joy. And I'm asking some of you to, by faith and by grace of God, to take it back tonight. To take that joy and say, God, you promised I could have it. Now let me remain in it and it remain in me. And my friend, I trust you'll do that. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not born again, in just a moment we'll stand. And if you're not sure that you're saved, there'll be somebody right down at the front, Brother Kyle, Brother Daniel, somebody, and they'll make sure to take all the time you need to go in the Word of God and show you how you can be sure you're saved. And Christian friend, your joy, Jesus' joy, should remain in you. If you've not been keeping it, I ask you, what's the problem? Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as they play? As they play and you come, as the Lord would lead. I'm not saying that the difficulty you're going through is light diet, not one bit, no sir, no ma'am. But I am saying that every difficulty that you're going through, Jesus said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that joy was there, put there by God to stay. Whatever your spiritual need is, if you have a heavy heart tonight, the altar is open for you. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, the altar is open for you. If you're here and you're saved but you've never been baptized since you got saved, then I'd love for you to come present yourself for that. We'll do it in a service real soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come and meet with one of our staff or one of the deacons this week. You'd like to come present yourself for membership. Would you step out and come? I'm going to have you come up and pray and then tell them whatever instructions you want.
If you would look up this way, pastor's making his way out. He is going to be driving the bus over for the teen drop-in tonight. So for that, teenagers, make your way out right out at these doors. The bus will be parked over here. So make your way out there. We'll be over there for about an hour. Parents, be watching your phones because Miss Anna will be sending out a text about when we're coming back. So that way you have a heads up for that. And looking forward to that. And have a great week this week. Merry Christmas, and we will see you, Lord willing, Wednesday night. You are dismissed.